welcome to For the Record, our bi-weekly show in which we take one recently released album and discuss it in depth. You can listen to us every other Thursday at 9:30 a.m. San Francisco time on the world's best internet radio station, BFF.fm, or subscribe to the podcast at ForTheRecordPodcast, all one word, .com. This week we're talking about the debut album from Norwegian singer-songwriter Ea Otilda. It's called I Will Not Be Like That, and it starts off with the title track. You think I'm letting you off again, but I'm not talking, I'll make them listen. Shame on you and shame on me. I won't treat you with compassion. You would never act like this with someone. Follow a lot of non-commercial personal blogs where people dig through and recommend music that they found. And I discovered her through a blog called Turn and Work. It's turnandwork.com. And he had been singing her praises and waiting for her debut album to come out. And so when I put it on, it was not really what I expected, but it was really powerful. And the first few songs really grabbed me as just sounding very original and also not like a debut album. Like, this felt very fully formed.
Yeah, this is an artist clearly a little under the radar, based in Norway, and not a ton of press out there, even in Norwegian, a little bit of German blog entries out there. And you get the sense that she started, what, maybe 3 or 4 years ago?
Well, she said that she started writing songs when she was 11.
Okay, well, started putting out music mm-hmm. 3 or 4 years ago and sort of gets attention. And a fair number of these write-ups describe her as a folk artist, and in fact this song, when it starts, maybe leans into that a little bit. The guitar is very natural, and the first verse doesn't even have drums. It's just kind of her and this guitar, and it feels really earthy, even though there's this urgency. But then the drums kick in, you're like, okay, this is getting pretty rocking, but still has a folky vibe to it. But then the chorus is just pure psych rock madness.
And I just like how much depth of instrumentation there is that grabbed me on this first track. We recently, for our music streaming service, we recently switched from Spotify to Tidal because they pay artists a lot more. And they have a credits section for each song. And so there's cello and bass credited, as well as like regular guitar and drums. And especially the cello just gives such a heartiness and such a feel, like a kind of mournful feel to the song.
No, it's really a phenomenal pivot. And I think what you get on a lot of these songs is they're not particularly long, but they take you on this musical journey. And then the record as a whole has, I think, a wide variety of styles without feeling like, oh, these don't fit together. And I think we get that immediately from the transition from this first track to the second, which is I'm Ready for Love.
I won't be seen here again. Desperate.
many interesting subtle touches here, and it's a little tough because Ea Tilda's only 20, having started, you know, started when she was 11, started releasing music when she was only 17, and here is working with two, you know, more experienced producers. I'm going to wrangle these names, but...
They're all Norwegian names.
Yeah, Hans Olav Settem and Marit Ottile Torvik, who also contributes backing vocals on a lot of these tracks, and share writing credits as well. So it's clearly a collaboration, but at a certain point, who cares if the results are this outstanding? This song is tremendously catchy and balanced on this kind of dream poppy sound, going into this almost like proggy, like almost Radiohead-y kind of overwhelming, dense sound layering.
She has said that PJ Harvey and Radiohead are some of her influences.
You pick up on it, and it's fantastic here. And then for the service of this song being, you know, this incredibly just this yearning and also like this sense of like, I'm already an adult, I'm ready, I'm looking around at these men around me who are maybe boys.
Yeah, I mean, her voice is so strong in each of these songs. And I mean that both kind of emotionally, her voice as a writer versus her vocal style, which are so, I think because it's so, her voice is so light and pretty and emotive and close mic'd for most of the production, but it's paired with these very almost heavy instruments. Like the cello is beautiful, but it's also kind of a heavy sound and a lot of noise and guitar and really incredible drumming. And so the lightness of her voice makes a really nice contrast.
Yeah. And there's some interesting touches, I think, with the way the vocals are done here, where these verses that are two lines and then just skip a line, no vocals, and then it comes back. Mm-hmm. And then in these pairs of verses, the second one will be two lines and then like a reverse echo where the third line is the fourth line repeated before it happened. So it's very unsettling and very, very cool. Like I feel like I've not heard that way of, it's novel and fresh.
If an echo is repeated before it happened, then isn't the other one the echo?
But it's like a different voice. It's like a backing vocal. So it's almost like call and response where the response comes before the call, which is very cool. And I feel like, yeah, it's a trick that, like, why have I not heard that before? Because it just creates this extra feeling of intensity here. This is otherworldly and just, yeah, really, really cool.
So the next song we'll play is called Will I Be Hearing From You?
Will I be hearing from you? Hearing about that gift of yours?
Last night, we saw Greg Freeman perform at the Rickshaw Stop, and he and his band were phenomenal. And they incorporated there's a violinist and just a lot of like noisy breakdowns with all of the instruments. And I think I like strings and kind of like noisy, chaotic stretches. So this song really spoke to me.
Yeah, I think in some ways, you know, the folk country, this is maybe the countryest track on the record. It's got the kind of twangy guitar and piano and a little of that clap stomp throwback of hey, 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 except as a spice rather than the main ingredient.
Well, and it's got the rollicking drums with like the shuffle, what do you call it? The shuffle.
Not sure.
Brushes.
Yeah.
That I feel like that gives it an Americana feel too.
Yeah. And then a nice like tambourine with, you get kind of organ and tambourine sounds as well. So it really.
No one is credited as the organist.
Yeah. Well, it's our this new streaming service apparently is not perfect. No, it is a weird, even for very popular music that is well known, to track down full credits. And so unsurprising that a young artist in Norway on an indie label is going to maybe not have the best info out there, but we can enjoy listening. And now this one just feels so, you know, so intense. And the emotion here is so sad. And it's, you know, we had the I'm Ready for Love as this real yearning. And then here are kind of this, someone not yet in a relation, here's someone in a relationship that is not great and she's trying to make it work. And it's just that, again, the emotional maturity of someone who is a child is really something.
20 is an adult
to me, to a middle-aged person. someone who is just, it's shocking maturity.
Most of these songs are addressing someone. It's like, this is there is a you, and then a lot of the lyrics in the other songs are either talking about someone, you know, presumably in a relationship or after a relationship. And she did say in an interview that her music is very personal. And she says, I rarely write music if it isn't out of a need to express or process something from my own life. Relationships, friendships, feelings, and questions I have for people or myself. And I think that comes through.
No, the emotionality here, intense emotion, which is matched by the bigness of these arrangements, that they feel so full and rich and loud. But after these three in a row, real barn burners, each in a different style, that intense emotion is now matched to some slightly more turned back and low-key music on the next track. It's called You Love the Thrill.
Please don't say anything about me. You always twist, turn every word. Children will speak like you. You threaten to tear us apart, and I think you will. You never back down from a fight, 'cause you love the thrill.
So when this song was released as one of the singles, we do at least know from the artist herself, this is very much her Elliott Smith homage. And you do get that, especially in that those first verses where it's so stripped down and emotional. And then I do really like when the drums come in and you even get a little bit of banjo, but it is her and her guitar and her emotions coming through.
Yeah, the first three songs were sequenced well at the beginning. They're all each of them is different and such barn burners and with a lot of energy. And it's a great way to grab your attention when you're listening to the album for the first time. And then this one steps back and is much more contemplative. And I love the way that she is showing her range then with this very different sounding song as the fourth track.
Yeah, and another one that, you know, seems like where the previous track was about a maybe not so great relationship, then here's another one that is maybe not so hot, but just this feeling of saying to someone like, you feel for her that she has, I believe that she has been out that person where she's like, I'm true, my heart is pure, I'm out there and not being treated well, and saying, well, screw you, I'm gonna write a song about it and it'll cut you sharper than any knife. Yeah, these songs are brutal, even as they're so pretty. And this song in particular has such like cool chord changes in the choruses where it just kind of takes a left turn where my brain is expecting a right. But that left turn is just perfect.
So the next song we'll play is called It Drives You Mad.
You show up at her apartment, wait outside her door by the pavement. Now, but it's not over. You make her up wherever
this pair of songs kind of hidden in the middle of the record are so personal and feel so intimate because of how closely her voice is mic'd and the way that on the acoustic guitar you can just hear the squeaks and you can hear her fingers moving on the strings. And she has said that she's worked with these two producers since she was 16 and they're her closest friends. And so she obviously really trusts them, and that comes across in the way that the recording sounds. It just feels very personal.
Yeah, a lot of these, the earthiness, the feeling of that you're, her fingers touching those strings, you feel like you're in the room with her, and then she's singing at you these just brutal takedowns of men who seem to deserve to be taken down. And this song musically is so cool because it's just this one incredibly repetitive guitar, very earthy guitar, just over and over and over. And that sense of repetition only releasing in these choruses where it's like, oh, the it drives you mad where the cymbal and these strings come in, where it's like, oh, that's the only release is the madness, except then you just go right back into it. And as she, with her words, paints this picture of someone who can't commit and is always looking for the next thing. And
you're assuming it's a man.
Most of the other songs she's referred, you know, she has said him. So all I'm right, kind of right. assuming it's a dude. And also this is like very dude behavior, very Matthew McConaughey. I get older, they stay the same age.
I think the way I hear that line is that, you know, when there's someone from your past, like they never age in your memory because you don't see them again. And so they just stay the same age as you get older.
Yeah. Except then it's like there's all these lyrics all right. about him kind of. Oh, it's like, oh, you're long lost lover. You're strangers now. Uh-huh. It's like someone you haven't even met yet, but you're just like being distracted by. Like, oh, maybe this person can be my new that instead of like focusing on the person you're actually with. So I think it's a little bit of looking back, but I think that element of it's looking for the new long lost lover. And so I read it as a forward looking.
Okay.
But you're right. There is an element of memory here and it's pretty brutal. Like just dude, she's right here.
So the next song we'll play is called I'm Not a Writer.
This is, I really have to call out Elias Tufjord as my attempt to pronounce this drummer who just gets these really driving stutter stop beats and flesh out so many of these songs. I love this one. Just starts off a little bit quieter and then comes in with all of these drums and so many unexpected chord changes. Like I kept feeling like this is taking these weird sidesteps and taking back alleys musically. And it gives it this real spookiness. And then we get to that bridge where we get this just leave it all to you, leave it all to you as this repeated refrain. And it gets so kind of dark and processed. And I at least get these real like garbage vibes from that bridge in the best way.
Say, generally like 90, that kind of like 90s. Muscular,
yeah, but I mean, especially her vocals are very Shirley Manson, and that production it just so pulled me back to those first couple of garbage records in the best way. But then the rest of it just is still very, very clean, and the contrast between the clean verses and really that there isn't so much of a chorus. There's just like a verse and then kind of a sort of chorus, but it also just feels like another verse.
Yeah.
There's a lot of these songs they have this conversational feeling that doesn't always conform to song structures necessarily, but they work as pop songs.
Yeah, and I think they feel very spoken from the heart. Like, you really feel like she says she is writing about her own personal experiences. And I think that's what makes them relatable and make them feel very open, and like they create an emotional connection.
Yeah. And at least fortunately here, though, the emotions here, after a few songs about being in kind of a bad situation, this is kind of a like, okay, goodbye song in the best way. So super fun. And just another, just each of these songs is so surprising.
Yeah.
And so as we come into the home stretch of the record, we get another quieter track for the penultimate song. It's called Young Love.
Play just the end of that song where there's some like birds chirping and then ends kind of abruptly. And I love the way that this song is about, it's like it starts out as sort of a positive meditation on, you know, we were young people in love and like it was the right time for that, blah, blah, blah. And then it turns into this just one little section of verse that's kind of bitter, that's like, dumb it down for me. And then just moves on kind of to the end. And I think that it epitomizes the way that this record is both delicate and pretty and personal, but also clever and introspective and surprising.
Yeah. So that, yeah, we do have these sort of sweet verses that feel very much like we did it. We're kind of like, I'm leaving. No, we're agreeing to stop. Mm-hmm. Oh, we learned so much. I'm looking mm-hmm. at what's ahead. And cheers to the young love. And then the bridge just completely is like, oh, and like, you maybe suck.
That's what I said.
And, yeah, but it's just like the verse, but then that it is the bridge where it goes to a different chord and everything mm-hmm. is kind of different. And then it like starts back to the chorus again, but then it's like, it's in a different key mm-hmm. and you get the weird sort of people laughing at yeah. it. Like, ah, no. Like, yeah, you dumb kid. But also she recognizes that and is growing past it. So yes. I like that inversion of the chorus into bridge and then into a, like an off sort of satirical chorus.
And it's such a short song. It's only like two and a quarter.
And, yeah. No, it's really a blast. And the entire record, it's what, under 30 minutes, I think. Uh-huh. And I just never find myself getting bored. Mm-hmm. And at every stage, I was just like, how can someone this young be this self-assured and this good at so many different styles of folk and pop and singer-songwriter, at stuff that gets into electronica, a last track that really goes into a shoegaze kind of direction, mm-hmm. and even within a song combining so many different styles so naturally and all anchoring it as that sweet, sweet voice. Just a remarkable performer, and so glad that she came into my musical world. Like, thank you for reading that blog.
I'm surprised that I could find almost nothing on her on the internet, and including in Norwegian. You found like one interview in Norwegian.
A couple, yeah.
Yeah. So she's only 20, so I'm sure she has room to find her footing and hopefully gain more attention.
I mean, she's singing in English, clearly would not mind international audience.
Whenever we talk about international musicians who are singing in English, I'm reminded of what a privilege it is that people from around the world are choosing to sing in a way that we can understand the lyrics as dumb Americans. And I really appreciate that.
Yeah. And so hopefully all of us can do the return the favor by listening and making her huge. Because, yeah, there are those artists just like, how are you not already a megastar?
Yeah. I thought you were going to say we can replay it by making songs in Norwegian, which.
Well, come on. Let's not go too far.
So, yeah, just listening to the whole album. It's wonderful. We're going to go out with the last track, which is called You're on the Loose. And again, we've been discussing the debut album from Norwegian singer-songwriter Ea Otilda. It's called I Will Not Be Like That. And you've been listening to For the Record. Thanks so much for listening.
Proud member of the BFF.fm podcast network. Learn more at podcasts.bff.fm.
BFF.fm, best frequencies forever.